many of you have heard this verse sung before? Rejoice in the Lord always. Okay? I thought about doing it this morning. We sing it in a round. And if you've never sung a song in a round, that means that one group starts off singing, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And as that group continues, then the other group starts, rejoice in the... But I've never led it where it works, so I'm not going to try to today. But it is an important verse in the Scriptures. It's an important theme in the Scriptures. And sometimes we struggle to grasp the biblical view of joy because of the way that it's defined in our culture. In particular, we often confuse joy with happiness. For example, years ago, Charles Schulz in the comic strip Peanuts coined the old adage, happiness is a warm puppy. Happiness is a warm puppy. And it became a maxim that articulated this warm, fuzzy feeling that I have joy when I'm happy. I feel the tingly feelings and life is perfect. But joy isn't like happiness. Happiness is based upon whether things are going well or not. Joy remains even amidst when things are not going well. Joy is a permanent possession, while happiness is fleeting. Of course, there are times where we are filled with sorrow. Christ was a man of sorrows. The Scripture tells us it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. Even in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. But given all of those feelings in life, it is still possible that a believer keeps his joy in the midst of all kinds of other things going on. The New Testament concept of joy is that a person can have biblical joy even when he is mourning, when he is suffering, when he is undergoing difficult circumstances. And so this is because the person's mourning is directed toward one or more concerns, but in that same moment, he possesses a measure of joy. In the book of Philippians, the theme of Philippians is obviously the theme is joy or rejoicing. 18 different times in 4 chapters, Paul makes reference to one of those two words, joy or rejoice. In Paul's letters, Paul described joy, and I want to look at Philippians chapter 4 this morning and find out and kind of define for you what biblical joy looks like. If you're taking notes this morning, by way of introduction, I would introduce to you that biblical joy is something that is produced by the Holy Spirit. It is something that is produced by the Holy Spirit. In fact, it is an imperative in our text, Philippians 4, where it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, not given as a suggestion, but rather as an imperative. Hey, the expectation of Christians is that they're to be have joy all the time in their lives. Well, how can I do that? Only because you have the Holy Spirit in your life. We know from Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, second fruit of the Spirit, given, or what the Spirit produces in a person's life is joy. Now watch this. No Holy Spirit, no joy. You understand that? You understand the world can get happy about things. Boy, you know, football's returning on Sundays. I'm not so happy about that, but the world might get happy about that. But it's all dictated by circumstances. You see? They don't have the wherewithal to have a joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. First thing I would have you understand is that there's an imperative, but there's also an influence, and that is the Holy Spirit. Second thing is, as we study the book of Philippians, we understand that the Holy Spirit then enables me, or enables Paul, or enables a believer to respond to external circumstances with internal contentment and satisfaction. Joy is the ability given to us by the Holy Spirit to respond to things that are going on around us with internal contentment and satisfaction. We'll see that in the book of Philippians. In fact, you know the verse in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 11. I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He wrote about that in this book. Third thing is, that comes with joy, is it helps me, the Holy Spirit, helps me to see who God is in His Word and what He is accomplishing in the lives of others. Brethren, these three components are always possible in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit can produce joy in our lives in all situations of life. It's a supernatural ability that we get from the Holy Spirit. The Spirit can always enable us to respond to external circumstances with contentment and satisfaction. And the Spirit can always help me to see God in His Word and what He is accomplishing in the lives of others. And when we look at the life of Paul, we find that he had biblical joy in these three arenas or in these three ways. So if there is a command here in our text, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, then it leaves no room for not rejoicing. It doesn't leave room for sometimes rejoicing. It doesn't leave room for me to be this way and this way within an hour. It doesn't leave room for me to occasionally have joy. It says rejoice in the Lord always. Is it possible for a Christian to lose joy? It is. You don't lose the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit's fruit being produced in your life, you can lose. All right? So this morning, I want to preach a message entitled, Help, I've Lost My Joy. Help, I've Lost My Joy. Now, God alone produces true joy. In Romans chapter 15 and verse number 13, the Bible says, Now the God of hope fill you with all joy. The God of hope fill you with all joy. That was Paul's prayer for the church at Rome. As he summed up the book, his prayer for them was that God would fill them with joy. You know, it's sometimes difficult to see a believer with a countenance that has fallen. Remember when God asked Cain that day, why is your countenance fallen? Sometimes we communicate we've lost joy right here. We communicate it through our countenance. Sometimes we communicate we've lost joy through our words. Sometimes our attitudes communicate that we're not living in the joy of the Lord. Say, preacher, I am there a little bit in my life. What do I do? How can I find joy again? I've lost my joy. There was a day where people would buy retread tires for their car. Anybody remember that? Yeah, some of you remember that. You're older than I am. Retreads, in fact, were advertised in the newspaper when they were being sold. Retreads were popular in that day. For those of you that don't know what retreads are, they would take an old tire, about worn out, and they would put a new layer of tread over the top of that tire. And the tires would look brand new when you bought them, all polished up. Even though they would not last long as a brand new tire, they would last quite a while. The tires were renewed. They were given a second chance. They were allowed to be useful again. They were restored to usefulness. I wonder today if your joy kind of looks like the old tire, worn out. And you need some new tread, so to speak. You need renewed joy. David did in the Old Testament. David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. I know there are a lot of killjoys in life, or a lot of things that attack, maybe, our joy, rob us of joy. My focus this morning is not to really identify all of those things that would rob someone from joy. My focus this morning is to take you to the Scriptures in the book of Philippians and really show you in the Scriptures where you can find joy again. if you've lost joy in your life. Hey, life's too short to live without joy. Life's too short to live miserable. Life's too short to live with my head stooped down. Life's too short to be controlled. My attitudes and my outlook and everything to be controlled by what's happening around me. I need joy again. Do you need joy again? Where to find joy again? Number one, turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter number one. Philippians chapter number one. We find joy in prayer and thanksgiving for others. Say, preacher, I've had a lot of things happen in my life. I don't even know how to pull myself up out of a pit. I'm not living with joy. I just be honest with you. Joy is not bubbling over in my heart. What can I do to get joy again in my life? Well, I think Paul gives us tremendous truths in Philippians on how to find joy. Number one, we find joy in prayer and thanksgiving for others. Look at these verses now, beginning with verse number three. The Bible says, "And I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Paul's joy arose out of his prayer life, and specifically his appreciation for others. Notice the tone here in verse number 3. He says, "I thank God upon every remembrance of you." Boy, when I make requests for you all, I make requests for you all with joy. Boy, as I think on you, I am reminded that he that which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Woo, I got something to clip my heels about. God's working in people. God has blessed me to know these people. I thank my God when I remember you. If you feel like you've lost joy and replaced it with frustration, oftentimes our hearts get there with others. Frustrated with others. I know that never happens to you. Frustrated with your mate. Frustrated with your children. Frustrated with your brother or your sister. A dull spirit. Then get back to praying and thanking God for others. Take a prayer time and thank God for others. Our staff will tell you every once in a while in our prayer meeting, the Spirit of God will just lead me in that direction. Just where we just start thanking God, thanking God, thanking God for others. It is a place where you will find joy again. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of negativity today. And if we're not careful, we'll flush the Holy Spirit's work and power right out of our lives if that's all we think about. And in the days that we've been through, some believers have lost joy because all of this is going on, preacher. I want you to know that joy penetrates through all of that. And one of the ways that it penetrates through all of that is when we take time to pray and thank God for others in our lives and recognize the work that God is accomplishing in our lives. You know how we tend to think? We tend to think of how everybody's falling short of our expectation. By the way, that'll kill your joy. That's why Paul says here, "Hey, I'm running to my prayer closet and I'm taking time to thank God for others in my life, and I'm doing it with joy. And as I'm doing it with joy, more joy is growing in my heart by the power of the Holy Spirit." Man, this is wonderful. You can have that again in your life. If your joy tank is low, take a prayer time. Make it all about thanksgiving for the people in your life. Thank God for your parents. And thank God for your siblings. And thank God for your friends. And thank God for your fellow laborers in church. And thank God for your children. And thank God for spiritual leaders and your neighbors. And on and on and on. Just make a prayer time and say, "God, I need some joy. And I'm going to follow what the Bible says. And I'm just going to take some time and thank you for people in my life." That's a good place to start. These verses tell the church to be joyfully confident in the Lord because He hath begun a good work. A good work. Say, preacher, I got somebody I'm witnessing to, family member, and they just seem miserable. Oh, God's working. God may be bringing them to misery to bring them to Christ. Hey, rejoice that God's working. God works in people's lives. Recognize that. Rejoice in that. That's what Paul did. Remember, Paul was writing from prison. Circumstances were not great. But watch this. His calling on God was. That's how you have joy. When circumstances aren't great, you call on God. You go to prayer. And you pray and you thank God for others. Paul's condition was stressful, but his comrades were supportive. He said in these verses, boy, I think back and how you've been in fellowship with me, a partner in the gospel from the very first day until now. All those years that the church at Philippi, boy, you've been with me. Boy, I have something to rejoice about. Huh. I want you to understand that you can have joy again. Principle number one, you go to God in prayer. You thank God for others. You thank God for others. Number two, Paul found another place for joy, and that is when he focused on the fact that Christ was being preached. For Philippians chapter 1, if you will, look at verses 17 and 18. Anytime we hear Christ preach, we ought to be rejoicing. Paul said this in Philippians 1, verse number 17, but the other love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Well, preacher, you know, I don't know how things can get any worse. Wait a second! Is Christ still being preached? Hey, if Christ is being preached, what should I be doing? I should be rejoicing. Paul said, bless God, I'm in prison. But you know what? I may not be able to preach Christ to all the regions that I went to before, but he's still being preached. I will rejoice over that. And brethren, the pulpits across America, as far as I know, are still preaching Christ in many good pulpits and churches across America. And we can rejoice. I was writing a newsletter article yesterday for the newsletter and just writing an article to the community on things that we've learned. And one of the things that I learned is that the gospel is always the power of God unto salvation, no matter what's going on in our world. My, I studied that those group of believers in Acts 8 when they were persecuted and scattered. What did they do every day? They preached Christ. People were saved and converted. You know, we haven't been able to knock on doors, but we've had funerals where we've preached Christ and gravesite services where we've preached Christ and tracts that have been handed out where we've given Christ. And there's been opportunities to declare and witness to people of Christ. Hey, there's things to rejoice about. That's a spiritual point of rejoicing. It's fertile ground for rejoicing when Christ is preached. I think there's something to be learned here from Paul, and that is he was focused on the preaching and not the preachers. There were some that were preaching Christ in pretense, or what he's saying there is that, you know what, they were hypocritical in their lives to some degree. But he said this. He said, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Hey, if Christ is preached, that's the main matter. Don't get your eyes on the individual. Don't get your eyes on the messenger. Keep your eyes on the message. The message is that Christ is preached. And he says, I can find rejoicing in that. Thought about this. You probably would have not, knowing Jonah's past, called Jonah to be your pastor. Miserable, unforgiving Jonah. Rebellious Jonah. You probably would have thought, well, God's certainly not going to bless his preaching after all he's done. Did God use Jonah? Oh my. Nineveh turned. You know why? The message was right. The message was right. We could rejoice in the message. We would have probably never blessed another Psalm of David after he committed adultery. and murdered Uriah. But God had him write Psalms. After the fact, he had him write songs. Now, I'm not trying to defend somebody that's not fulfilled what are the requirements for ministry or ministers today. I'm not trying to open up that gamut. I am saying that the message, focus on the message. When Paul focused on the fact that Christ was being preached, he could rejoice. You know, one of the things that drives joy out of our lives is just a focus on others too much. Too much. And it here, he focuses on the message. Number three, we find joy when there is an assurance of continuing together in the faith. There's another cause for joy. Joy produced by the Holy Spirit. Joy that enables me to be content and satisfied internally when externally things may be going awry. Joy. We find joy when there's an assurance of continuing together. Look at verse number 25. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 25. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Paul says, I have this confidence. I know that I shall abide and continue with you all. And there's going to be a joy of faith when that happens. Or I know the joy of that, the contentment, the satisfaction of just being together. That's a blessing. You ought to be able to find contentment today, no matter what else is going on in life. That, you know what? I'm together with God's family today. In church. And the Lord's going to build our church. Build buildings? No, build people. Build people. That means today somebody's probably going to get something from the Word of God that's going to help build their lives. And they're going to advance and they're going to progress. You know, coming to church and saying, not only are we going to continue together in worship, but today God's going to change some of our lives. That is a wonderful thing. Paul said, boy, that's something to rejoice over. That I could come together and see your joy of faith. Huh? Reminded all of you, you come to church and your joy or lack of joy does affect others, doesn't it? Paul says, man, I can't wait. I know I'm going to be able to come back with you. And when I come back with you, I'm going to see the joy of your faith. And boy, that's going to be sweet and precious. And because he was assured of that, he could find contentment and satisfaction and that God was working in their lives. There's that third part of joy, that I'm able to see God and I'm also able to see that God is working in the lives of others. Brethren, sometimes we get in the habit of just coming and going, don't we? I come to church today, put on my smile, shake somebody's hand, but we forget that God is working in people's lives. When we come to church, God is working in our lives. He's worked in our lives through this week. He's working in our lives today. Brethren, that brings contentment. That brings satisfaction. Hey, God's at work in our midst. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. We find joy when Christ is preached. We find joy when there's an assurance of gathering together in the faith. We find joy, fourthly, when we hold forth the word of life. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse number 14. Preacher, I don't know how to describe it. I just kind of feel like going through the motions spiritually. I'm here. I know I'm saved. None of those things are in question, but true joy, I mean, contentment and satisfaction in my life. I don't sense that. How can I get joy again? Fourthly, by holding forth the word of life. Look at verse number 14 of Philippians chapter 2. The Bible says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. So there's another joy killer. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The words holding forth here carry the idea of maybe us having an after-church fellowship and somebody, we've got containers of lemonade and tea and water, and somebody's there either pouring the drinks in or filling the cups with the drink, and they offer a cup to you. They are holding something forth that would benefit you, that would be a small blessing to you. That's the idea of the words here, holding forth the word of life. However, what we're holding forth is much more important than lemonade or iced tea or water, right? We are holding forth, and we are to hold forth, the word of Christ. So what are we talking, or the word of life here. So what are we talking about? We're talking about every day presenting Jesus to somebody. Hey, can I tell you about the Lord today? Hey, can I share with you my best friend, who is Jesus? This tells you how you can know him. Can I share that with you today? Hey, can I share a blessing in my life that God brought about in my life last week? Holding forth the word of life means to present the living Christ and our experience with him to those around us. This is what John did in 1 John chapter 1. Would you turn there in your Bibles? 1 John chapter 1. You say, preacher, when is this supposed to happen? Oh, answer? When things are really bad. Bible says, in a crooked and perverse nation. What are we supposed to be doing? Hey, can I tell you about Jesus? We're to be holding forth. And Paul, as he's writing this, is kind of going ahead in his mind. He's looking to the day of Christ. Day of Christ being the judgment seat of Christ, right? And he's looking and saying, boy, if those around me that we've worked with and we've trained, if they continue to hold forth the word of life, he goes, on that day, I will rejoice in the fact that I have not run or labored in vain. There's a point of rejoicing if you will hold forth the word of life. You say, preacher, how can I be content and satisfied in these dire circumstances that I'm living in? Oh, one way, every day, hold forth. Hey, today, I can focus on all that other stuff, but I can also focus on, Lord, would you allow me to witness to somebody today? And Lord, would you allow me to present somebody the Lord Jesus? I mean, the greatest thing that I could ever present to anybody, holding forth the word of life. Listen to what John said about the word of life in verse number 1. That which was from the beginning, 1 John 1, which we have heard, they're testifying now, they're witnesses, they're sharing their experience with the living Christ, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Hey, we're eyewitnesses. Hey, we've handled, we've touched this very Jesus. Our eyes have looked upon him. But now look at what he says in verse number 3. We say all that to bring you to the point that you need this Jesus. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. When they presented Christ, you know what they knew what they were presenting? They were presenting something to the people that they had never experienced. Joy comes through Christ. We're presenting Christ to you. The reason we're presenting Christ to you is that your joy may be full. You don't know what joy is, but you can know what joy is if you come to Christ. You'll know what fellowship with Jesus means. You'll know what fellowship with the saints mean. And we are presenting Christ. We're holding it out. Hey, here he is. You're Christian. You want some joy in your life? Hold forth Christ. Hold forth the word of life. In this text, you could hold forth murmurings and disputings. What's that going to bring to somebody? Joy? Oh, the joy is going to be full. Let me tell you about how bad my life is. Oh, really? Thanks for sharing. Could it show forth murmurings and disputings? We could show forth what we don't have or what we've lost. But that puts our light under a bushel, my friend. Christians, I want to remind you of that. In this day in which we're living, it's very easy to go there. But we ought to be holding forth word of life. Could be talking about death. Could be talking about the death of your nation. Or I could be talking about the word of life. The word of life. Hold forth the word of life. There's trouble in Philippi. Could have been talking about church problems. There were church problems in Philippi. He begged them, "Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." He spoke to Euodias and Syntyche in chapter number 4 and said, "Hey, be of the same mind in the Lord." We could hold forth doom and gloom, but it won't help our spirit and it won't help the spirit of others either. By the way, we don't have a dead Savior or a lifeless book or a condemned future. Christian, you have something to talk about that is worthy of talking about. It is the word of life. It is Jesus Christ. You can hold forth problems and trouble, but it will certainly sink you deeper in the quicksand of discouragement and drive us further from delight and joy. We can hold forth debates and strifes. These things don't produce joy. By the way, neither will they produce joy at the day of Christ. None of those things will. You know what will produce joy at the day of Christ? Every day that you held forth Christ. That will produce joy. Christian, get back to holding forth the Lord Jesus Christ. I often think of a little child chasing down the ice cream truck. And, you know, the ice cream truck comes into the neighborhood and its little music's playing. And, you know, a child's got to get to the truck before the truck leaves. It's only there for a little bit. If nobody shows up, the ice cream truck leaves. And so here comes a little child around the block, heard the ice cream truck, and he's running down the street, and he's hoping that that ice cream truck won't leave before he gets there. And he gets there, and the truck stays, and he's able to get the treat that he wanted. And he thinks, wow, all that running, and I didn't labor in vain. And Paul says, running this race, I'll get to the day of Christ one day, and what I hold forth could produce even joy in heaven. What I've trained others to hold forth could produce joy in heaven. Christian, I want you to be able to rejoice at the day of judgment, and I want to rejoice at the day of judgment. It depends on what we're holding forth. And then I give you two more thoughts, just outline. I won't be able to dig into them. We find joy when we serve and sacrifice for Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also ye joy and rejoice with me. Hey, the church at Philippi, Paul could see that they had dedicated themselves. They had fulfilled Romans chapter 12, and verse number 1. Hey, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourself a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Paul says, listen, if I die in prison, if I pour out my life and I'm martyred, I will be thrilled to merge that with the sacrifice that you are giving right there in your church. Somebody said this, the greater the sacrifice, the greater the joy. Paul's testifying of that here. Could God be asking you to sacrifice something? And your attitude is not contentment and satisfaction. You haven't yielded to the Spirit. You know what the Spirit's going to produce when you yield to something that God is asking you to give up or something that God wants you to do for Him? You know what you'll find? You'll find tremendous contentment and satisfaction that will be brought by the Holy Spirit. That's what happened to Paul here. I could share a lot more with you there. I cannot. Lastly, we find joy in the Lord. In the Lord. In Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. In Philippians chapter 3, verse number 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. How, preacher, can I rejoice always? That just seems really, really hard. Because rejoicing in the work of the Spirit in your life will take you in hard times to the Lord. To the Lord. He'll point your focus to the Lord. And there's always something to rejoice in the Lord. I can rejoice that I can talk to the Lord. I can rejoice that the Lord's in charge. I can rejoice that the Lord keeps His promises. Well, preacher, the stock market just fell. Well, rejoice in the Lord. Well, preacher, I just totaled my car. Well, rejoice in the Lord. In the Lord. Preacher, the health report's not coming back good. Rejoice in the Lord. In the Lord. Didn't say rejoice in all those bad news. He said rejoice in the Lord. So, how do I get my joy back? I get my mind on the Lord. On the Lord. On the Lord. Question, Christian. Question, as we close this message, has your mind been on the Lord? Because if your mind's on the Lord, you can rejoice. You can see the Spirit bring about contentment and fulfillment and satisfaction in your life, no matter what's happened. You can see God through His Word. Hey, I can rejoice in the Lord by what I saw in God's Word today about God. Hey, He's the God who sanctified me. Praise the Lord! I can rejoice in that. Your mind's not on the Lord. Hard to rejoice. Paul wrote, and he said, these are places that you find joy. Have you lost some? Preacher, I don't know how to explain it. Just, man, I'm kind of plodding right now. I'm just kind of getting through days. Wait a second. That's not the way the Lord wants it. It's not the way the Lord planned it. The Lord planned so that you could have joy in every day. Always. Rejoice in the Lord always. The psalmist said this, Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. O Lord, You have put joy in my heart. Maybe today, you need joy again.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home. A quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.